We've been looking at it. Tonight we're going to look at this third verse. And it says, He restoreth my soul. Now, as my shepherd, and we have noticed this, but the shepherd does a lot for me. Once again, just like we said before in verse 1, where does the emphasis go? It doesn't go on me or you, but it goes on the Lord. It goes on the shepherd. And then it says, He maketh me to lie down. We put the emphasis on the He. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The emphasis next is still on the He. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And then here in this verse, it says, He restoreth my soul. Now, that's where the emphasis is. Now, you take your Bible there and turn to the 42nd Psalm. And I'm going to talk about that little phrase, He restoreth my soul. And you say, well, how in the world is this all going to fit with what we read about over there in John chapter 21? Well, you'll see here in just a minute. Psalm 42, this is kind of an unusual, like, passage. It's one that we sing, even have a song with it. As the deer panteth after the water brooks, we sing that. But it says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy guide, God? Where I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. And then he says in verse 5, which is a little bit of an odd verse. He says, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now, you see that little phrase at verse number 5 where it says, Why art thou cast down? When a shepherd said a sheep was cast, it meant the sheep was on its back in a helpless, frightened position, and the sheep couldn't get up on its own. So the sheep needed someone to help it get up. Now, that was a dangerous position for a sheep to get into. And if the sheep stayed in that position long, it could actually die. So in the cast position, the sheep is defenseless, and it lacks the ability to flee from the preys, from the animals of prey that might have came against it. So Psalm 22, verse 5 says this, Why art thou cast down? What he is saying is this, Why do you think you are vulnerable to anything that may come in to destroy you? Why is that? Now notice the last part of that verse. He said, Why art thou disquieted me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. The cast down sheep needed to be restored. So when David said, He restoreth my soul, the sheep here, go to the 51st Psalm, the sheep needed somebody to restore him because, quite frankly, he couldn't restore himself. Look at Psalm 51 in verse 12. Just turn there for now. He didn't say, let me read the first part of the verse. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He didn't say, restore unto me thy salvation. He didn't say that. There is a difference between a relationship with Christ and fellowship with Christ. We established the right relationship with Jesus Christ when we came to him as Savior, and then he came to live within us. I'll come back. Hold your finger here or just listen. And I'm going to read a couple, three verses from John chapter 10. As soon as I find John chapter 10. Verse 27, he said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Once you become a sheep in God's family, you're in God's family. Our relationship with Jesus cannot be changed. And once we're born again into God's family, we can't be unborn in God's family. We have the gift of eternal life. We aren't a child of God today and a child of the devil tomorrow. And once we're in the family, then we are in the family. Fellowship is what, though, that we have in common. All of God's children should daily be in communion or in fellowship with the Lord. David didn't pray, restore unto me thy salvation. He said, look it back there now, you're looking at Psalm 51, verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That's what he wanted. He didn't lose his salvation, but he lost his joy. And then he said at the end of that verse, let me find it again, uphold me with thy free spirit. You know what he was saying? Lord, keep me upright. As a sheep in that cast position, lying on his back in a helpless position, the shepherd would come, turn the sheep over, placing him in an upright position. Now, I want you to realize something. God does give us opportunities to be restored, and he places us upright. The sheep can't do that on their own. The shepherd does that for them. Restore means to bring again or to bring home. Now, you might feel as if you have ruined everything, as if nothing good will ever come your way again and everything is hopeless. You may feel like you've made a wreck of your life and nothing good can be restored, or somebody else, they can never be restored, and, you know, it's just no good. There's a prayer I pray quite often. It's in Joel chapter 2 and verse 25. God spoke to Israel and he said this, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the pommel worm, my great army which I sent among you. There are people that I pray for and I will say, Lord, restore the years that the cankerworm and the locust, restore the years that they have eaten. Because some people need to be restored. God had judged them with locusts and with cankerworms and with caterpillars and with the pommel worm. Why did God judge Israel that? Because of their sin. But he said, I will restore to you the years. In other words, I will restore everything that you have left. You can't be 60 years old and say, well, I screwed up the last 10 years, and you say, God, I'm sorry now, forgive me, and he's not going to go back. You're not going to go 50 again and get all those years back. You've lost those years. But from that time on, God restored. Life is, you never get a redo in life, okay? This isn't like a drama where you're doing a play practice and say, and everybody laughs at you and say, let's do a redo. Or you're playing a ball game and somebody says, I'm safe. No, you're out. I'm safe. No, you're out. Okay, redo. We used to do that when we were kids. We didn't have there was no official umpire, so we just did a redo. Well, in life, you don't get redos. But God gives you, from that moment on, and restores the rest of your years. God can restore your joy. If you've lost it, God can restore that joy. If you lose it down the road, you lose your joy. I want to remind you that don't forget that God can restore your joy. God can restore whatever you have left. So God gives us opportunities to be restored. The second thing I want you to think about is God also can restore other people. And I want you to look at Galatians chapter 6 with me just for a second. In verse 1. Oh, my allergies. Verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We ought to be in the ministry of reconciliation and restoration. A believer gives evidence of their spiritual maturity when they seek to restore the fallen. We should desire to see people restored. That's what spiritually mature people do. They seek to restore others. When a fallen believer falls away, we try to bring them back to the Lord. It is sometimes harder to bring a fallen brother back to the Lord than to see a sinner saved. It just is. Where there is sin, there should be repentance. And where there is repentance, there should be forgiveness. And where there is forgiveness, there should be restoration. So we work to help restore people, bring them back, and treat them as if they've never really sinned, and do all we can do to show them the love of Christ. But I want you to tell you the third thing, and that's this. Our souls can be restored. If your soul is restored, you can be healed of any wound, you can be healed of any hurt, you can be removed of any guilt, you can be delivered from any sin. And so go back to Psalm 23 now, and I'm going to read it. and then we're going to go to a couple other passages. Maybe I'll quote it before I get there. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He brings us back to where we should be. He restoreth our souls. Now the sheep does not restore himself. This is the work of the shepherd. Before we can help others, you better remember something. He restores your soul first. The sheep does not restore himself. There's a very clear picture of the shepherd restoring a sheep in the New Testament. Jesus is the shepherd, and who was the sheep? Peter. Why do you think we read the story about Peter? That's right. Somebody was paying attention anyway. So it's Peter. He's that sheep, and you know the story, I think, where he just turned to Luke chapter 22, where Peter kind of like really blew it. But you know, it's not the only occasion that Peter, I guess one of the things that we can have in common with Peter is, you know, Peter messed up a lot, and we can mess up a lot. But anyway, he's quite the picture of the shepherd restoring a sheep. Jesus is the shepherd. Peter is the sheep. Now, how was Peter restored? Now, we'll read some of these verses here in Luke 22. I was debating whether to read for our opening reading either John 21 or Luke 22. I picked John 21, but we're also going to look at a little bit in this particular 22nd chapter in Luke as well. First of all, I want you to remember that Peter was loved by the Lord, and God loves you. No matter what circumstance you're in, or no matter what situation you're in, God still loves you. The Lord had proven to Peter that he loved him long before Peter had ever denied him. He provided him for 3 years and really provided him for 18 months when he was in training with Jesus. Peter watched Jesus be crucified. He knew why the Lord was being crucified, and he knew that Jesus loved him. And Jesus loves us with an everlasting love. We are never unloved by God. Don't ever forget that, because that was one of the things that God used to restore Peter. And then, if you would please, you're there in Luke 22. Look at verse 31 and 32. Peter was prayed for by the Lord. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. I want you to remember that Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us. He prays for us. We are restored. Peter was restored because Jesus loved him, because Jesus prayed for him. And I want you to notice something else. I'm going to put a ribbon here. I think I'm going to come back to this. But look at Mark chapter 16. Jesus called Peter by name. Mark 16, after our Lord resurrected, a messenger, because remember, this particular time when Peter denied the Lord, it was right before the crucifixion. So that was that. Now you jump ahead in time, and this here is after the Lord had been risen from the dead, resurrected, a messenger was sent to give this message in verse 7. Go your way and tell his disciples and Peter. Do you see where the Lord called Peter by name? I have those two words underlined in my Bible, and Peter. I preached one of the favorite sermons I ever preached in my life with those two words, and Peter. That he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him as he said unto you. Now, the Lord called Peter by name. He singled him out. God knows my name. God knows your name. God knows who you are. He knows the very numbers of the hairs on our head. When the Holy Spirit deals with us through the preaching of God's word, you come to church, you hear a message that might just be for you. He knows you, and he knows your needs. I've had people say when I come into church, Pastor, I need to talk to you after church today. Okay. Then they'll come up after I'm done preaching. Never mind, Pastor, you answered the message in your preaching. I'm thinking, that's nice. I have no idea what I said or what your question was, but that's wonderful. Now we don't have to talk about it. But, you know, God does that. That's why I think it's important that people be in church. But God just, he knows your needs. And he wants to restore you. And he says, I love you, and I want you to be restored to me, and I pray for you, and I even know your name. But I do want you to go back to Luke 22. And I want you to remember this as well. Peter's sin was seen by Christ. And Luke 22, we'll go to a little bit later in the chapter now. After Peter spoke an oath denying that he knew Christ, verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now here's what happened in Peter's denial. The Lord had been arrested and be led away to be crucified. And the Bible says that Peter followed him afar off. So he's following Jesus, but he's following way back. Eventually he found himself around a fire to warm himself. And a maid says to him, you're one of his followers. You talk like him. Oh, no, no, no. And he denied Christ. The second time, the same thing happened, and he denied Christ again. And the third time, he cursed and denied Christ. Now, the rooster crowed. Now, I can just picture this. They're leading Jesus away. Peter is over there. He hears that rooster cry, and Jesus looks him right in the eyes. How do you think Peter felt when Jesus looked him right in the eyes? That'd put you down in a hurry, wouldn't it? But that's what happened. Did I read verse 61? And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. I can tell you one thing, I'm glad I wasn't Peter that day. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. You see, Jesus saw Peter's sin. He sees your sin. You do need to remember that. A large part of restoration takes place when the shepherd realizes that, when the sheep realize that the shepherd has seen our sin and we confess them. That's part of restoration. And when Peter saw Jesus looking at him, look at another verse, verse 62. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I should suppose if it was I was Peter, I would have done exactly the same thing he did. He sees our sin. He wants us to receive his forgiveness as we confess our sins to him, but he does see it. Fourthly, go to John 21. Peter was also able to remember his sin. Now, we read much of this. Days had passed since Peter had denied Jesus, and his disciples decided they were going to go fishing. And in verse 2 there, Peter's talking, and then finally Peter says, I go a-fishing. Well, Peter didn't mean he was going out on a fishing trip for a day. Peter was going to change his whole career from a preacher to a fisherman, because that's what he was before. And so they fished all night, and they got nothing. And as the sun rose up in the morning, they headed for the shore. They weren't far out, and they saw somebody on the shore. And Jesus had prepared breakfast for them. And did you see what he said in verse 12? Come and dine. Isn't that something that Jesus would say to a disciple who had denied him three times, who had looked in his eyes and said, Peter, I saw your sin. But then he says to Peter and the other guys, come and dine. By the way, Peter must have been a pretty strong man to grab a fishful and 153 fish and drag that in anyway. But you would notice that, but I would notice that. Now, he said in verse 15, then when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, so after they'd ate their breakfast, and it's something to think about that Jesus even prepared their breakfast for him. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto me, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. Peter was getting annoyed. This is the third time he asked him the same thing. Lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. He said, you knew I sinned. You knew what I did. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him again, feed my sheep. And as that Peter denied the Lord three times, Jesus questioned him three times. And it caused Peter to recall his sin. Now, God has given us the ability to remember our unconfessed sins. And you know what he does? He gives us a chance to confess them. After I was saved, it still happens, but after I was saved, it happened a lot. And this sin would pop up, and this sin would pop up, and I'd confess that thing, and confess that. It's like, man alive, am I ever going to get through this laundry list of mine, or what is going on? But you know what? God does that. And even today, when you sin, somewhere, somehow, the Spirit of God is going to prompt your mind, and you're going to say, oh, yeah, and I need to confess that. That's not punishment. That is part of the restoration process. Confession of sin is a large part of the restoration process. So how was Peter restored? He was loved by the Lord. He was called by name. He was prayed for by the Lord. His sin was seen by the Lord. And Peter was able to remember his sin. Then I want to say one last thing. And I'm getting, listen, I was going to preach this sermon. I could have made this thing really long. And it's longer than it was supposed to be for a Wednesday night as it is, all right? But anyway, fifthly, Peter has to face the heart of the matter. And what is the heart of the matter? Three times Jesus said to Peter, lovest thou me? And it put the issue right where it needed to be placed. If we're going to be restored and help others be restored and our fellowship with the Lord be restored and reestablished and be able to say, he restoreth my soul, like the psalmist said in Psalm 23, then we've got to face the real heart of the issue. And Peter had bragged in front of everybody. He's like, Lord, if everybody denies you, you can count on me. I'll never deny you. Peter was full of himself. And that's the real problem that everybody struggles with. And you know what it can be? Pride. Now you go back, because I'm out of time, but you go back and you read the earlier chapters, verses in Luke 22, beginning in verse 24, and you read through, and then you find the garden scene, and you'll find where Peter said, I'll never deny you, not me. And then the crazy disciples even were asking, who do you think will be the greatest? I'm like, here your Savior is, you know, getting ready to be crucified, and you're worried about who's going to be the greatest. But anyway, it goes a little deeper, though, when Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? The real heart of the matter is this. It's loving Jesus. Restoration happens really when people fall back in love with Jesus. Do you love Jesus? After this scene in John 21, we all know people who've done wrong. Before that happened, something took place in their daily walk with God, a failure in a personal walk with God before something happened that everybody else could see, but something happened before that. And at the heart of the issue really is, do we really love the Lord? You say, I can't get along with so-and-so. When our heart is restored, we can deal with others. Where our souls are restored, we can deal with the opportunity that God gives us, and we really can't help others until our own hearts are in proper communion with the Lord. How far would Peter have gone? This fishing trip in John 21, had he not been restored, I think I said this, he's ready to go back to fishing. I mean, he's ready to make that a career. That's what he was before. He wouldn't have been at Pentecost the day 3,000 people got saved. God went after him, and God will go after you. And so we can say at the psalmist, he restoreth my soul. And so in this psalm, David testifies as a sheep praising the shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And because the Lord is my shepherd, he leadeth me beside the still waters. And because the Lord is my shepherd, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And because the Lord is my shepherd, he restoreth my soul. Our shepherd is awesome. I mean, we use that word awesome all the time. But in this instance, it's appropriate. He's really awesome. Never forget it. Never forget it. Father, maybe there's somebody here tonight that feels like, huh, they're exhausted. They've been through everything. They feel like, you know, they've been hurt by others, and their soul is down. Lord, I pray that as their shepherd that you would restore their soul. And help us all to remember when we get down that you will, you're more than willing to restore our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. That's Psalm 23. is a rich, rich sum. I may rework that sermon one day and preach it when I got more.